Aloha, beautiful soul. You're listening to the Uplifting Podcast. I'm your host, Randy Lee. I am a soulful business coach and public speaker who is obsessed with human design and continuous growth and evolution. This podcast is for the soul-driven woman who is ready to energetically align with the highest version of herself so she can make quantum leaps in her life and business. My mission is to help you uncover your naked truth, the real you when you strip down all the conditioning and limiting beliefs around who you should be, stop making excuses, and step into your true power. Each week, I bring you powerful conversations with women who are taking up space and owning their zone of genius, as well as solo episodes from me to support your journey to live an authentic life. If you're ready to liberate your true self and uplevel all areas of your life and business, then you've come to the right place. Thank you so much for pressing play. Now let's find out what's uplifting you today. Aloha, beautiful souls, and welcome back to the Uplifting Podcast. My guest today is Laura Bowder. Laura is a podcast strategist for female entrepreneurs who supports them in using podcasting as a lead generation strategy in their business. She believes in the power of sharing your voice and growing community to build authentic connections with your dream clients. Laura is the creator of the Podcast Vault membership for podcasters and podcast service providers, and the corresponding directory of service providers for podcasters looking to outsource. Laura is a school psychologist turned entrepreneur, as well as a wife and mother, so she encourages women to recognize the value of their time and delegate tasks so they can live with the time freedom they desire. Welcome to the podcast, Laura.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here today.
I'm so excited for our conversation, and I just love the work that you're doing, and I can't wait to dive into all of the things podcasting, but I would love to start with hearing a story from your past that got you in the work that you're doing today as a podcast strategist.
Sure. So as you mentioned, my training is in psychology. I'm a school psychologist. I worked in public schools for 5 years, and the real turning point for me, which is a little bit cliche, but there is a story behind this, is when I became a mom. So I have a little boy. My son is 2 years old now. And when I had him, I was working in the schools. I took my 12 weeks maternity leave and had to go back to work when he was 12 weeks old. And I was still very much not ready to go back to work, both emotionally and physically. And there were just a lot of kind of conflicting thoughts going on in my mind about the time that I was spending at work versus with my child. And actually, partly because of that experience, and also I think because my son was a terrible sleeper, I wasn't sleeping well, so I wasn't really taking care of myself. You know, it was kind of that standard, make sure that my son has everything he needs. And I just realized I continued to deplete myself more and more. And it took me a long time to realize this, even though I have a background in psychology, that I was actually experiencing postpartum depression and anxiety. And I think maybe because of my background in psychology, I continued to try and fight against that and convince myself that I could overcome it, or it wasn't really that big of a deal. So it took me many months to really come to that decision. So with all of these different things going on, really brought me to this place where I wanted to be out of the job that I had. It was stressing me out. I was experiencing a lot of burnout, and I desperately wanted to do something where I could work from home and spend more time with my son. And I started a podcast. So my first experience in podcasting outside of being an avid listener was my first podcast, Postpartum Perspectives. And I started this podcast just because of my experience. And as I started to get into counseling and take my medication and realize that I'd had this whole postpartum experience that so many other women were probably experiencing as well and not talking about. So I turned all of that into my first podcast and shared my story and other women's stories. So that's kind of the roundabout way that I got into podcasting. And from there, just really got more and more into the community of women who podcast and the online business space, and realized that there was a need for, first of all, for help with podcasting, and just kind of a need for encouragement and a mindset shift in the space as far as the just the idea that podcasting can be really effective, both as a community builder and a lead generation strategy.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so many ways that we can be connecting and building community. So why podcasting? I mean, I know you touched on, you know, a little bit from how it's helped you, but why exactly did you choose this to be your main source of client attraction and lead generation?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think part of it does come from when I started this podcasting journey. It was the audience that I was trying to reach at the beginning. I was trying to reach new moms. And as someone who had been a new mom recently, I knew from my experience, I listened to a lot of podcasts when I was up at all hours, when I was commuting to and from work. That was one of the ways that I was really kind of building a community for myself, because I didn't have a lot of friends in quote unquote real life that had children that I could talk to. And this was, my son was born at the beginning of 2019. So this was pre-pandemic, but I know that this feeling is even more pervasive now. So podcasting is, I think, the most kind of on-the-go way that you can still create this sense of community and understanding and belonging. And I think you can just hear with, you know, through people's voices in a way that you can't get from a blog or reading posts in a Facebook group, or I think even sometimes like video content that's staged, people can tell that they're reading from a teleprompter, or they have, you know, something up on their screen that they're reading from. Some video content is, of course, very organic and you can feel the connection there too. But I really think that there's something special about podcasting, and you just feel that connection. I feel like when you kind of take away that visual piece, it just felt the most authentic to me. I could probably go into a whole host of psych reasons too, as far as just being an introvert and really preferring to kind of have this audio space where I didn't always have to make sure that I was camera ready every time I wanted to do an interview and that kind of thing. But I really think it was just first and foremost when I started, it was the audience I was trying to reach and like really reaching them where I knew they would be, and just the connection that I always felt as a podcast listener as well.
Absolutely. I can totally resonate with so much of what you were saying. And I love that you said, you know, you can consume podcasts while you're doing other things. And I think that that makes it really unique, because even like a YouTube video, a lot of times you need to be watching the video. You can't just be listening to the audio to really get what they're doing, especially if they're showing a lot of visuals. So I think with a podcast, it's really a unique platform where we can be optimizing our time and also still continuing to learn and expand. And like you said, connecting with people who are like-minded that you may not have in your immediate circle. Like I know when I started my business, that's where I really got so much support, was from listening to podcasts, because I didn't have a lot of people in my life who were doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Listening to podcasts is kind of the first place where I really started thinking like, oh, maybe I could do something where I could work from home and then be able to have more of that balance that I felt like I was missing. And I think, like you said, with, you know, you can multitask while you're listening to podcasts. So you're able to get more done without having to stop everything like you might for a video. And it also, I think that piece of it makes it feel more like you're listening to a friend or a family member, because that might be, people might also use similar times to check up on a friend or family member on the phone or something like that. So it just, you're bringing people, when you're listening to their podcast, you're bringing them into some of these very like personal or just mundane moments of your life. So it feels like you have that personal connection.
Absolutely. I love that. And so how does someone get started with a podcast? Because I think a lot of times it can feel really overwhelming. You know, I know before I started my podcast, it felt like something that I had to wait until I had built a really successful business and then I could start a podcast, because it just seemed like such a huge thing to take on.
Exactly. I think people can often feel overwhelmed just thinking about starting a podcast. It seems like there's going to be a lot of tech pieces to it. Some people are also, I think, intimidated if they want to do interviews. Often that's something I'll hear like, oh, well, I mean, I have to build up this certain level of audience or authority before people are going to want to be a guest on my show. And I'm sure you've had similar experiences to me. Like, I have found podcasters to be so welcoming and so encouraging, and I very rarely have heard of or encountered anything where people would just be like, nope, you know what, not interested because you're not big enough. I mean, it happens, it's out there, but it's not the pervasive attitude of podcasters in my experience. But if you want to get started with a podcast, and I talk about this a little bit at the beginning, in the beginning episodes of my own podcast, because it's something I hear so often that people will be really excited about the idea of podcasting. They'll really want to get started. They feel like they have some really cool things to share, and they'll kind of back off of it because, one, they'll feel like, I don't have enough time, I don't understand how to do it, or I just don't feel like it's going to be like financially viable, or it's going to make me more money in my business, so I have to choose to spend my time other places. And so what I really encourage people to do is think about, as a business owner, we are going to be creating content in some form. And if podcasting is the way that excites you and that you feel really passionate about sharing your message in this way, then this can just be your long form of content that you can pull from in order to then create smaller pieces of content, like what you post on social media or what you send to your email list. So I would say it really doesn't have to be as complicated as you might think. You know, I recommend starting very simply. You definitely should have some kind of microphone and headphone situation, but it doesn't have to be anything over the top. And then really the only other thing that you must have to start a podcast is something to record into, and you have to have somewhere to host your podcast so that you can have it pushed out to Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all of the platforms that are out there to listen to. But I think it seems more complicated than it really is.
And you brought up a really good point about the equipment, because I think equipment often is a turnoff for people too, because they think that they need to buy or set up a whole podcast studio. I definitely thought that in the beginning. I'm like, oh my gosh, we need to buy all of these things. And so that kept me from getting started. So what do you see? I know you said microphone, but do you see anything else as essential to getting started in terms of equipment?
No, so equipment can be so basic. Like, I mean, I've definitely heard people give the advice like, oh, you can just start a podcast on your phone. And you totally can do that. You have to be mindful to a certain extent of audio quality, just because we've all had the experience of listening to something. And if you can't hear what's going on, or it's really muffled, or there's a lot of static or background noise, you're going to bounce off of that thing. So nobody's expecting perfection. But the most important thing, I think, is just some degree of sound quality. And I mean, extremely basic. Like, I have from the very beginning recorded most of the time in our walk-in closet. I'm currently sitting in a walk-in closet still, and I've been podcasting for over a year now. So I'm in a closet. And the reason I'm in a closet is because it is quiet, carpeted, and there are clothes around me. So you won't hear a lot of echo. And you also won't hear a lot of background noise because it's one of the few places that I can go in my house and close the door. So those are, I think, are the most important things, is very simple equipment and somewhere where you can go where the sound won't have a lot of echo and there won't be a lot of background noise. Pretty much anything else people will forgive, or you can fix certain things through editing if you choose to go through and edit a podcast.
Yeah, and that brings up a really good point too. The editing, I remember that was something that I was so intimidated by. So when I first started my podcast, I had a co-host and we kind of divided up the tasks among ourselves, and she took on the editing. And I was doing like the booking the guests and scheduling and stuff like that. And then when she decided to leave the podcast, I had to take on the editing, and I was so overwhelmed. And I learned how to do it, but it was just so time consuming. So I ended up hiring somebody and delegating a lot of the podcast management tasks. But I think that also can be something that holds people back. So can we like bust some of those myths around delegating?
Yes, absolutely. So I think people can come at podcasting with kind of two different thoughts about editing. or just the podcast experience in general, is they'll think, well, I can just get in front of a mic and have this conversation with somebody else, or I'll do a solo show and I'll just throw it out there and see what happens. So that, you know, there's one group of people who will go into podcasting without really giving editing a lot of thought at all. And then there's another group of people who either are going to back off of the idea of podcasting because they don't understand editing or don't think they'll have time. And I hate to see that for both groups, because not that you have to do a ton of editing to your podcast at all by any means, but I feel like often if you're doing an interview, you will want to go back through and just make sure that the conversation flows well, that there aren't kind of extended gaps, even where, you know, it doesn't have to be an awkward conversation, but sometimes in interviews, there's just gaps where people are thinking or coming up with the next question, or they've had a little side conversation about something they mentioned before they started recording. So there are just some things that you want to cut out for timing and flow of the conversation, not necessarily any fault of either of the people on the line. Or even if you're doing a solo episode, there might be something going on in the background, or you decide that you want to reword something. I do think that some degree of editing, just to give it a once over, is really important. And so as far as like myth busting and editing, I love what you said about really just thinking about how to spend your time. And if you want to have a podcast but don't want to deal with all of the editing and the production, you absolutely don't have to. There are podcast editors, podcast managers who are out there and willing to take these things off of your hands so that you can focus on really being the person who does the recording and the person, if you want to be, the person who plans the content. There are also podcast managers that will do some things related to that as well. So you can really tailor it to the time that you have, to what you want to focus on. But I think that's why we see a lot of like podcaster burnout, or what we call pod fade, because you'll just start to see people fading away from their podcast because they start to feel like it's too overwhelming week after week after week. And they either just won't have the time to put out the episodes, or they'll get frustrated and stop doing it and think that it's not working because there are just these extra tasks that maybe they didn't anticipate originally when they go into podcasting.
Absolutely. I know for myself, I didn't realize how many little tasks there were to actually getting an episode published. You know, you have to, especially if you're doing interviews, it's like finding somebody to interview, scheduling the interview, setting up, you know, the links and emails and the editing, and then creating images and promoting it on social media. So there's a lot of different elements that I think if we're not coming into it with a clear understanding, then when we find out, we can then, if we're not delegating, just give up the podcast or pod fade or whatever it might be. And I hate to see that as well. And I totally agree with you about the editing, because I definitely edit my podcast. And it's not like we change what people say, but I think it's important to have a clear and cohesive conversation, because it just enhances the experience for your audience.
Exactly. And I actually heard somebody say in a Clubhouse room, which, you know, Clubhouse is one of my new obsessions right now, but somebody gave this advice in a room that I thought was really important. And it was, if you have a podcast, then your main role is to be the talent. And, you know, I don't mean that in like you are a celebrity and you don't have to lift a finger in any other aspect of your podcast, but it takes work to get up the energy and do research and come up with questions. It's absolutely not nothing to get yourself hyped up and ready and record interviews. And sometimes people may decide that to fit a podcast into their schedule, they're going to do something known as batch recording, where you might sit down and record several episodes in one day. So that's a time commitment, an energy commitment. And so if you decide that editing or social media or whatever is going on with your podcast that you don't want to do yourself, that's why we all work together here, right? We all have our own specific areas of genius that there are people who absolutely love to do all of those things. There are podcast service providers who will do editing, who will do social media promotion for you, who will write show notes, who will write really in-depth blog kind of show notes if you want. So I think whatever you choose to do and whatever you choose to delegate, as long as it feels good to you and that's the way that you want to run your podcast and your business, go ahead and do it that way.
Absolutely. And you brought up Clubhouse, and I'm absolutely obsessed with Clubhouse as well. And I'm curious, I mean, that's how we met, right? Which is so amazing. But I'm curious what you think of Clubhouse's role. Like, is it competing with podcasts? Are podcasts going to be threatened by in any way by Clubhouse? Like, what do you see as that dynamic?
Yeah, it's such a good question. It's a question that I've seen going around on Clubhouse and just amongst podcasters in general. I don't think it's going to replace podcasting. I think it's going to be kind of podcast adjacent or complementary to podcasting. And of course, logistically, right now at the time of recording, Clubhouse is only available on iPhone, and there are lots of barriers to entry to Clubhouse. I assume at a certain point it will expand to more devices, and maybe it won't be invite only. The whole platform could look entirely different. They might start monetizing certain things. I mean, I think it's still very early on for Clubhouse. So I think the way that it looks right now is it's kind of a shiny new object. And I do find myself at this point going on Clubhouse during some of the times that I might normally listen to a podcast. But I anticipate that that will continue to change. I think it's just kind of an exciting thing right now for me to go on and see what's there. But it's already getting to the point where sometimes I'll go on to Clubhouse and won't really see anything that I'm interested in participating in at that time. And then I'll flip off and listen to a podcast or check out something on YouTube or do something else. So I think there are definitely some really amazing connections to be made on Clubhouse. I think it's going to benefit people's podcasts in that way. Like you mentioned, we connected on Clubhouse, and I've definitely connected with other people that I've wanted to bring on as guests to my podcast or other people that I'm going to get to be a guest on their podcast. So I think it does wonderful things for podcasters because it's also an audio platform. So I think podcasters are just kind of naturally drawn to it, and we connect in that space. And then something that I do with my own podcast is I release episodes every Thursday. So my podcast name is Profit from Podcasting, and I release an episode every Thursday, and then every Monday on Clubhouse, I just do like a 1 hour, I call it the Profit from Podcasting Happy Hour, and I talk about, you know, what we talked about on the most recent episode. If my guest is on Clubhouse, they're welcome to hop in and answer questions and just kind of have a conversation about whatever we discussed on the show, answer people's questions in the room. And it's been really fun and just like a cool way to connect. So I see it, like I said, more as complementary to podcasts, and I think particularly appealing to podcasters and people who are interested in the podcasting space because of that audio connection. But I'm not worried that it's going to entirely replace podcasting.
Hey everyone, I want to take a quick second to let you know about my self-paced course, Launch Your Podcast. If you've been loving this episode and are feeling inspired to launch your own podcast, I have created a self-paced course that is exactly what you need to get started without the overwhelm and stress that typically accompanies launching a podcast. Podcasts are one of the best marketing strategies for your business. They're a much more effective way to get your message out and build your business than even social media or email marketing. With social media, the algorithm changes all the time, and your content doesn't always get seen. And emails often don't even get open, or worse, they end up in the spam folder. But with podcasts, you have the ability to get your business in front of millions of people around the world. And starting a podcast is actually much easier than you may think. Hosting podcasts is a great way to build awareness of your brand, spread your message, and turn prospective clients into paying clients. If you're ready to build a pipeline of consistent leads to fill up your one-on-one coaching, group programs, courses, even sell your products, then starting a podcast is right for you. And I'm going to show you how with my easy-to-follow step-by-step system. This self-paced course will teach you everything you need to know about creating a podcast, including all of the tech stuff and how to build your audience so you can grow your business through the power of podcasts. I'm offering this 4-module self-paced course at over 60% off now through the end of April. Right now, it's only $77. Go to the link in the show notes now to grab yours. Now let's get back into the episode. I totally agree. And I love that idea about expanding on the conversation in a Clubhouse room, because I think that it can really then help benefit both you on Clubhouse, but then also your podcast. So I definitely don't think that podcasts are going anywhere, just specifically because of the fact that you can listen to a podcast anytime. Like with these Clubhouse rooms, it's like, they're live and that's it. You have to kind of be there. If you miss out on part of the conversation, it can be difficult if you're just jumping in a room versus a podcast. You can listen to it multiple times. You can rewind, fast forward, whatever. I think that that sort of capability is something that makes podcasts really attractive.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And then also as a content creator, we can't repurpose our Clubhouse room in the same way that we can repurpose our podcast episodes. So I've definitely heard people in Clubhouse rooms asking, you know, if they're maybe newer podcasters, like, oh, well, should I just give up on podcasting and do Clubhouse rooms instead? Or if people haven't started yet, they might be thinking, like, do I start a podcast or do I just host a Clubhouse room regularly? But I think there's a lot to be said for having that more evergreen kind of content where you then have your back catalog of all of these podcast episodes that you can point people back to in Facebook groups, or if you're talking to somebody on Clubhouse and they have a question, you can say, hey, go listen to episode 15 of this podcast. There's just a lot of repurposing that you could do with your podcast that you can't do with the rooms that are on Clubhouse for an hour or two, and then they're just gone.
Absolutely. And so I want to talk about your podcast, because like you said, it's called Profiting from Podcasting. And I would love to hear how you profit from your podcast, because I think that's such an important element of this, because it can be a very time consuming endeavor. And I want people to be profiting from this and getting the lead generation. So how do you do that for yourself?
Yes. So I started Profit from Podcasting because it was one of the biggest objections that I continued to hear as a podcast manager. So, or just somebody who would listen to people talk about wanting to start podcasts. Like in the very first episode of Profit from Podcasting, you'll hear me tell a story about just talking to somebody in my Facebook group who was so, so excited about starting her podcast, and she had all these great ideas, and you could just tell it was something she was really passionate about. And I was like, great, when are you going to start? And she was like, well, not for a while. I have to do some things that are going to make money first. And I was just like, no, this is going to make you money. If this is what you're passionate about, you can do it this way. For myself, the way that I monetize my podcast at this point is that I, first of all, use it as a lead generation strategy. I have very clear calls to action in my episodes. So I have usually a mid-roll. So like in the middle of the episode, I pop in just a little, you know, I guess it's an ad, but it's really just kind of a little, hey, I have this product. And as you mentioned at the beginning of this episode in my intro, I have the Podcast Vault, which is a membership for podcasters. And then it has its own corresponding, like I have a membership for podcast service providers. And I put those members in a directory for podcasters who want to outsource tasks. So I have these products that I will allude to during the episode if it fits, or I will certainly have this like one little ad space for them. So it's very clear what I offer if they're looking for something along those lines. And then at the end, I have, you can connect with me on Instagram, on Clubhouse. So I try to be very clear about where people can find me and what kinds of things they'll find when they get there. So that's the lead generation piece. And then the actual memberships are what I am using to bring, you know, money into my business and profit from podcasting that way. I think a lot of times, again, when people are just getting started or they're looking at what other people are doing or they're listening to the big podcasts out there, they might be thinking, well, the only way to monetize a podcast is to go for ad sponsorships. They'll hear this episode is sponsored by X or people running ads for really big businesses and think, well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to monetize my podcast? Because I don't have the audience that these people have. But if you want to talk about myth busting, I mean, ad sponsorships for the most part are not very lucrative. A lot of times they're based on your audience or they're giving a flat fee for per episode, or they're going to be asking you for a lot of deliverables as far as promoting not only on your podcast, but also in your social media or your email or your blog. And it may not be worth it. Whereas if you have your own services or products that you can point people to, you don't have to, it's not capped at any point, right? Anyone who listens to your show at any time, whether they find your show and they're listening in real time or they find it in 3 years and they start at the beginning, there's no cap on how many people can buy from you or anything like that. Whereas the ads are always going to be kind of that flat fee. And you also don't have to split the money with anybody or anything like that. So for entrepreneurs, I definitely recommend you can start monetizing your podcast from the very beginning just by pointing people in the direction that you want them to go once they're done listening to your podcast.
I love that you brought up the difference between promoting ourselves and our services versus doing advertisements. When I was a health and fitness coach years ago, I was an affiliate and was sponsored by a lot of different companies, and it was not lucrative. Like you said, you had so many deliverables that you had to do, so many posts, so many on a certain schedule. It was so overwhelming, and the return was not worth it. That actually was kind of what pushed me out of that space and into creating my own business, because I was like, there's no way that this type of model is sustainable. So I love that you brought that up. And I'm curious, if somebody maybe doesn't want to start a podcast, they just want to be a guest on a podcast, do you see that as something that they can profit from as well? Is there benefits to just being a guest, or does everyone need to have their own podcast?
That's a great question. And of course, I don't think that everybody should have their own podcast if it's not a form of content that you're interested in creating regularly, because no matter how much you outsource, there is going to be work up front that goes into it. And if you are much more comfortable writing and blogging is going to be your long form content, or if you really love the whole process of getting everything set up and doing Facebook Lives or YouTube videos or some kind of consistent video content, there are people out there that love to do that. There are people out there that love to blog, and there are people out there that love to podcast. So I think really just kind of sitting and thinking about what feels most aligned to you and your business and your audience is going to be really important. If you decide that you don't want to consistently put out your own podcast, but you would love to share your knowledge on other people's podcasts, I absolutely think that can be an effective lead generation strategy, as long as you are choosing your collaboration opportunities intentionally and strategically. And of course, you can always go on podcasts just because you think it's going to be fun, or you know somebody and want to be on the show, or they want you to be on the show to talk about something specific. But in general, you're going to see the biggest returns when you're going on a podcast where the audience is similar to your audience. And then the other piece of advice I always give too is you want the audience of the podcast to be, or at least to contain, your ideal client. And usually you want the host of the podcast to be doing something that is complementary to what you do, not exactly the same as what you do. People are very protective of their audiences, and they want to make sure that they're providing value to their audiences when they have guests on the show. And it also just wouldn't make a lot of sense to necessarily have somebody on the show that does exactly what the host does, just for the audience to be able to get some additional information from the guest. So I think that podcast guesting is an excellent way to increase your visibility. I think it still boosts your authority. Just like, you know, I think having your own podcast makes people see you as more of an expert in that space. I think then if a podcast host puts you in front of their audience, it's because they, as the host, trust you and believe that the information you're providing is valuable. So the audience trusts that host. They're going to see you as more of an authority as well. So I think it's a great strategy. Be intentional about the audience. And I think that it could be a great way to continue to grow an audience.
I love that. Thank you so much. This has been such a value-packed episode. And I know that this is going to be helpful for so many people. Before my last question, is there something you wish that I would have asked you or a final message that you want to leave?
I think I would just say that the most important thing when you are thinking about starting a podcast, or if you have a podcast, but maybe you're not seeing the growth or the results that you anticipated, or, you know, it's not growing as fast as you might hope. I think there are two important things to keep in mind. And the first is, like I've been talking about, just making sure that it feels authentic to you. It feels aligned to what you're doing. If you have a plan for, you know, where you see this podcast going, stick with the plan. And I think that will motivate you to continue in times where maybe you feel like you're floundering a little bit. And in addition to monetizing through promoting your own products or services, I think that building community around your podcast is so important. Just for our own mental health, I think, honestly, in the times that we're in, but also for that monetization and that lead generation piece, because people want to feel like they belong to something. And if you're creating a community where people feel you're listening to what they have to say, you're taking their needs into account when you create your content, you're really just going to be boosting your authority, and people are going to trust you because they know that you have their best interests at heart.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Laura. And my final question is always related to taking inspired action, because I think that's how we actually start to transform our lives. So what would be three action steps? It could be from what we've already talked about or something totally new, but what would be three inspired action steps someone could take today to live a more uplifted life?
That is a good question. Three action steps that you could take today would be just to, first of all, I think, take a little time and think about what feels like the best way to create content for you. So the way that you think will really amplify your voice and you'll feel comfortable and you'll be able to do it consistently. So that would be the first one. The second one, I would say, going into kind of the podcasting space. So if you decide that having your own podcast or maybe even being a podcast guest is going to be an important part of your strategy, think about the tech and the equipment side of things, which I know doesn't sound super uplifting, but again, I think it goes back to having that plan. And if you decide, okay, I'm going to get this little microphone off Amazon and use my earbuds from my phone, which, by the way, I'm using right now, so it doesn't have to be fancy. I just think that having a tangible plan makes you feel better and it makes things seem more attainable. And then I think my third action step would probably be put yourself out there, and it doesn't have to be in any huge way to start, but even if it's something like raising your hand and speaking in a Clubhouse room or connecting with somebody on Instagram and telling them, I really love your podcast and I enjoyed your most recent episode. It resonated with me because of this reason. And then maybe starting to build up a relationship with that person to the point where eventually you might ask if you can be a guest or they might invite you as a guest. So I think just taking some of those little steps to put yourself out there, that would be my third action step.
Amazing. I love those steps. Thank you so much, Laura, for being here and for sharing all of your wisdom and knowledge. It's been so valuable. So where can everyone find you, connect with you, learn more about you?
Yes, thank you so much. This has been so fun. Probably the easiest way to get a hold of me, get in touch with me, would be on Instagram. So you can connect with me there. My handle is at Laura Bowder Co. I also recently started at Profit From Podcasting on Instagram specifically for the podcast. I would love to have people check out the podcast. Again, it's called Profit From Podcasting. And if you're interested in learning more about effectively marketing your podcast, or if you are a podcast service provider and want to get yourself out there more, I would love to have you check out thepodcastvault.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Laura, again, for being here.
Thank you. It's been great.
Thank you so much for sharing a piece of your day with me. I know you could literally be anywhere else doing anything else, so the fact that you've chosen to be here with me means the world. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. My favorite thing is connecting with you on Instagram. So come follow me at I Am Randy Lee and take a screenshot of this episode to let me know what resonated with you the most or what your biggest takeaways are. You can also rate and review the podcast on iTunes, which helps get the podcast heard by more people. I personally read all of the reviews and love hearing how I can continue to improve this podcast for you. Don't forget that you are uniquely made, and that is your superpower. Until next time, stay uplifted.